Mr. Rubio?
Yeah.
Good afternoon, sir. Could you restate your full name and your Department of Corrections number, if you remember it?
All right. My full name is Jesus Alberto Rubio, and my Department of Corrections number, I believe, is...
I'm going to help you out, sir. This is the direction of the board. Your number is 175513, sir.
Okay, 175513.
Yes, sir.
All right.
I just need to move forward. Yes, sir.
Okay, so Mr. Rubio, so you've requested or you've made an application for a pardon from the governor of Arizona.
That is correct.
Just to explain the process a little bit, this board does not grant the pardon, but what this board does is listen to the applicant and review the materials, the application, and then at the end of the hearing today, the board will make a decision which with five independent members appointed by the governor, and we'll make a decision as a board whether to forward your application on for consideration by the governor.
Okay.
So this board does not grant for a part, just to make sure you understand.
Okay, understood.
Okay.
It's a process, and, you know, it's a process, and I'm here to start to begin, and, yeah, I hope I can...
All right, sir. Well, why don't we just start by, it appears that I have some of the documents here, and it looks like you were on probation, it looks like. And your probation was revoked, sir, and this was for a count two, a robbery?
Yeah, I believe that was back in 2002.
Okay. Can you tell us what happened? What was going on in your life at that time? What led you to commit that act?
Well, at that time, I believe I was about 18 years old. And I was living in California before that, though, probably, I believe, days before that happened. And things weren't going good for me out here, so I decided to move to Arizona. Once I moved to Arizona, I quickly got two jobs. I was working at a hotel, cleaning the rooms, and across the street, I worked at the Arby's right in Tucson, Arizona. And one night, I went out with my brother. We were having, you know, some beers. We went to the bowling alley. I was definitely down the street. And we had a couple of beers. And if I can remember, we got into a car that was his friend's, and we got dropped off somewhere around his, I believe his girlfriend's house. And if I can remember, she didn't want us there, so I had a couple of money. We decided to go rent a hotel, and from there, I woke up with the police waking me up early in the morning with guns to my head, and I was wondering what was going on. And it turns out that I'm being accused for a robbery, where I really don't even have any consent of it, as of when it happened, how it happened. All I remember is going to jail, being, you know, standing in front of a line of other accused persons, and I remember reading my paperwork saying that I was the third one that she picked. And, you know, to me that made me feel a whole lot better because of what I was being accused of. As far as committing crimes like that, that's something I never planned on doing. I never planned on doing. Ever since then, I mean, there's nothing I've ever done after that. That was a lesson learned. Unfortunately, I had to pay a price for something that I believe I didn't commit. As far as my brother, I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he died last year. But as far as him committing a crime, I can't remember ever him even, you know, doing the same thing either.
What's your brother's name, sir?
Marco Alvarez. Marco Antonio Alvarez.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I believe he did have prior criminal activity from when he was a juvenile, just like I did. At 13, 14 years old, which I believe I didn't even have control of my life at the time, and there were small things that I did that I truly do regret. But
can you give us some examples of some of those things?
Yeah, I remember I stole a bike from someone.
Stole what? I'm sorry.
I stole a bike.
A bike, okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah, a bicycle. I was in possession of marijuana. And I believe another time was I stole something from somebody's home. I think that's about it. If I can remember that.
And you said you'd been in California also part of your life?
Yeah, I've been in California all my life. I stayed in Tucson for the 2 years that I was unfortunately incarcerated.
Okay.
But I've lived in California all my life. Recently, I've been living in Las Vegas, working here.
So, had you gotten in trouble in California as well?
When I was young, yeah. Those are the crimes that I told you, that I just mentioned about when I was very young.
Okay.
I believe I didn't even have control of my life. And
so that was...
I reflect back on it and I say, whoa, how was I ever lost like that to even make those choices that I have to clean up now today?
And would that have been in Orange County?
Orange County. I lived in Orange County, but I don't remember committing any crimes there.
Okay, because I have a document that just notes that there were two outstanding warrants from Orange County.
I believe that was probably right now?
No. This is an older document. Your pre-sent.
Oh, yeah. I believe that was when I was extradited back to Arizona because I was on probation. I got out of probation after 6 months of doing probation in Arizona, and I was totally upset with the fact that I went to jail, that, you know, me and my belief, after I got out on probation there for doing the 6 months, me and my belief, my sole belief, I said, I never committed that crime. Why am I going through this? I mean, I came out here, I got 2 jobs, I'm trying to do better for myself because I wasn't doing good in California, and unfortunately, I fell into this situation that I have no idea, no remembrance of. And, you know, I'm sitting in a jail, so after 6 months that I got out, I said, why do I have to stay here and be surveillance and, you know, be monitored or, you know, report to something that, I mean, I didn't commit. So, all that choice that I made, where I was just, you know, too upset about that I left, and I said, I'm going to go to California and live my life and, you know, work. And hopefully that just erases from me and doesn't follow me. I know I can stay out of trouble. I don't look for trouble. I'm not, you know, involved or influenced in it. So I said, I know I can, you know, gather my life together and work and, you know, do what I'm doing today.
Okay.
And unfortunately, that was a bad choice.
Mr. Rubio, did you ever appeal your conviction? If you were innocent, did you appeal your conviction?
No, I didn't appeal my conviction. I don't know why. Like I said, I ended up very upset in there I couldn't really gather my choices. I couldn't gather what I was going through to a point where, I mean, I didn't feel good about anything, and, you know, it's, I mean, I didn't have, I couldn't even gather my thoughts to even advise myself about these things and study these things. I don't know why, how I didn't even have that state of mind that where I could even make that choice to appeal and try to see if I can get out of there, because, I mean, everything, and not thinking about it, everything was clearly, I mean, if I was the third person that she pointed out, and, you know, they, I mean, I don't believe there was sufficient proof that I committed it. I mean, I believe I should have appealed it, but unfortunately, I didn't.
Okay. Mr. Rubio, why don't we just move on to your application? Tell us why, what would a pardon do for you? What is it that you're hoping to achieve by receiving a pardon, if the governor would pardon you, sir?
Well, I'm just feeling good about, you know, establishing the life that I believe I always should have had. I mean, especially in a country like this where, you know, this means a lot, you know, reestablishing your civil rights, reestablishing your gun rights, being yourself clear of, you know, conscience of, you know, of being a part of a country that pretty much is founded by that too, you know, that establishes the person that you are, where you give yourself confidence of the life that you're living through. You know, you're fully, you're out there giving it all you've got, you know, trying to establish a good life, trying to make something for yourself and, you know, and prosper from it. And I mean, I believe this is part of what, you know, has to do with Eric, you know, working for a life here.
So Mr. Rubio, are you aware that you could apply to have your gun rights restored and your civil rights restored? Have you done that?
I think, I believe, isn't that the process I'm going through right now? Because, I mean, I tried to do it here, but then they told me that I have to get a governor's pardon from you guys before I even try to establish it here.
Well, your gun rights and your civil rights, you would apply to the court where you were convicted. And you can also apply to have the whole matter set aside as well.
Yeah, well, from what I was told and from what they made me understand, I guess Arizona and Nevada made me understand, is that I have to pay all my restitution fees, all my court fees. I have to get all that cleared out and go through this whole process to where, I mean, it makes sense to me to even stand in front of a court like you to hear me out and go through this process. I mean,
so have you paid your restitution and your court fees?
Oh, definitely. That's what I had to do before I even started my own pardon packet. That was part of the whole pardon packet that I had to gather together and get this going. I paid, I believe, over $600 on restitution and court fees, not including all the paperwork that I also had to pay for, and then the processing and the filing, gathering the files, and etc.
Okay, and did you submit that information with your application?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I'm looking for that now. I don't know if our board members found that in this packet. I don't believe we have the evidence that that was taken care of.
The fees?
Yes, that all the fees were paid and that normally there's a... There's a document normally, and I just have not seen it. I'm going page by page now.
There's one near the end by Peter Kelly.
That's I'm probably almost there.
Yeah.
Okay, I see it now. Okay, sir. Well, I went ahead and started this hearing, and I realized I'm remiss. I did not introduce the board to you. So I'm just about to open up the floor so they could ask you questions, but before we do that, I'll introduce them to you. So we have in the room the Honorable Lee Quinones, and you've probably looked at on the web anyway, but I'll introduce who's here. We have the Honorable Lee Quinones, the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, the Honorable Mike Johnson, and my name's Gail Rittenhouse. So that is the five people that are on the board today. And I want to open up the opportunity to them, because I've been doing all the talking. I want to let them ask questions as well. So I'm going to open that up at this point. Mr. Quinones has a question for you, sir.
Mr. Rubio?
Yes.
Can you hear me clearly?
I sure do.
I just wanted to be clear on something based on the way you described the event. Are you saying that you didn't do it, or you don't believe or remember doing it?
I don't believe I remember doing it. Hopefully, it's a time that I don't want to believe that I did it, and I don't believe myself doing that.
Okay.
Sort of a crime of assaulting, especially a woman, taking her out of her vehicle, threatening her with a weapon. And I believe that is, I don't believe I did that.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I was clear.
Yes.
I really don't have any more questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Rubio, how much probation did you receive? How long of a term?
I believe they gave me 4 years probation.
Okay.
4 years probation. And, I had gotten out on 6 months.
Did you complete entire term, sir?
What's that?
Did you complete the entire 4 years then?
No, I didn't. I actually, like I said, I was upset with myself for my choices again. I mean, weren't criminal, but were just, of just being upset, hurt, that I said, I don't believe I have to, report to this, and I'm going to go and live my life the way I know I should, the way I know I will. Unfortunately, I was given warrants. That led out to Orange County, I believe, and that's what extradited me back to Arizona.
So you left the state, and then you were revoked. Your probation was revoked. Is that correct?
Revoked. No, I was. I think I was. I became a. What do you call that? A fugitive. Or what do you call it?
And then when you came back to the court. The court revoked your probation and sent you to prison.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Mr. Johnson has a question for you as well.
Okay, sir. So
yes.
In your application, basically what you said is that you want to get a governor's pardon for a peace of mind and establishing... can you hear me, sir?
No, I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
A little bit.
Okay, in your pardon package, you said that basically you wanted to get a pardon so that you could have a peace of mind and establishing the responsibility and privileges of obtaining a bond and recuperating your civil rights. But you did get your civil rights restored, right?
I didn't quite hear the end of that.
Did you get your civil rights restored? Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah. Yeah, I want my rights restored.
Okay, so you got the... Don't you have... Huh?
What was that?
Did you get your civil rights restored already?
Yes, I sure did. I got my civil rights restored from Honorable... I believe I think copies of that there.
Right, you had it when you had your... The restoration of your rights order that was given back to you in the Superior Court, and then you also had your charges dismissed or set aside. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. I had all that taken care of.
Okay, so with that, you have a right to carry a gun, with the exception of Las Vegas, because they won't honor that in Las Vegas. But by this state, your rights have been restored. You could carry.
Oh, yeah.
You would be able to carry a gun here in Arizona. Is that right?
That's correct. But the thing is, out here, they want me to get a governor's pardon because their process, I guess, is a whole more stricter and detailed, where they, you know, want to be sure about, you know, who they want to release and carry concealed weapons to out here. And I have no problem with that. I respect that. I have to go through the process and pay for it, and I was willing to because of, you know, my project that I've, you know, been doing out here. I've been working out here. I've been, you know, completing a lot of good stuff for myself. Where, you know, I've been responsible of, you know, achieving my private investigator's licensing card, where I'm a security guard, and you know, being involved in that field of work, I've, you know, spoken to a lot of staff from there, and, you know, they have advised me, you know, I could move on if I could, you know, acquire my CCW. And, you know, that's one of the processes that, you know, I'm interested out here, but, you know, that also takes its time. You know, I'm not trying to rush into it, trying to, you know, become a security guard that's, you know, armed. But, you know, since I've been in the field, yeah, they mentioned that to me, and, you know, that's one of the reasons also that I would, you know, look forward to getting out here in Nevada, Las Vegas, and, you know, I respect the strict regulations that they have, and I believe that's what they're asking me to do, and this is the process I have to go through.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Any other questions? Dr. Wade has a question for you, Mr. Rubio.
Mr. Rubio, aside from your wanting to get your gun rights restored in the state of Arizona based upon the pardon from the governor, can you tell me some of what you've done that would make you outstanding where the governor of Arizona might consider granting you a pardon, sir? What have you done? I know you don't feel that you committed this crime, and as a board of executive criminals, we do not trial, so we can't retry that. Therefore, that's there. If you want to get that retried, you got to go through the judicial system. So what are some of the things that you have done that the governor of Arizona might want to consider granting you a pardon, sir? Some of the positive things that you've done.
Well, starting off with, you know, it's been I'm going on about 17 years that since this crime has been committed. I have not only just, you know, prospered in my own self as far as, you know, health and spirit, but, you know, I've achieved a lot of things that got me to where I am today.
What are some of those things? That's what I'm asking you now. What are some of those things that got you to where you are today? What have you been, sir?
Well, I've focused on, you know, a daily work routine where that makes me responsible to pay for my bills, to pay for a great vehicle that I have, to pay for my, you know, my apartment, to keep responsibility of the pets I have. I mean, I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything because, I mean, that's all I have. I live by myself. I am responsible for everything that I work for. I have hobbies that I want to look forward to, that I look forward to also. I sustained, you know, a good work history so far within the past 3 years here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah, I mean, that's about it. That's about all I can pretty much put out there, because there's nothing else I do out here but work and, you know, sustain a living and try to, you know, enjoy my life and the hobbies that I have and, you know, look out for the pets I have.
So I really appreciate your honesty, and I noticed that you put all that in writing about your pets and all of that. I saw that in looking at your application, and I really appreciate you being honest with this board. But I'm going to ask this question. You already answered it three or four times, but I want to ask once again.
Okay.
How can I convince the governor of Arizona that you didn't commit that crime, sir? In your opinion, you know, I'm just asking you, in your opinion, you were there. No, I was not there. No other member of this board was there. But based upon what you have lived through and what you know that happened, how can I, in good faith, send a letter to the governor stating that you did not commit the crime?
Yeah, I believe that I have been stepping forward to so far since that happened. You know, even when I first stepped foot in Arizona, the first thing I did was get two jobs. And I was working by myself. I was actually staying out in some little construction dumpster out there because, you know, my brother was somewhere else. And, you know, I go over to work from there. I stayed there two nights, you know, worried about scorpions. And, you know, I was fully focused from the time I lived and left California. I mean, I was fully focused to do something for my life and establish it and be responsible of it. And to this day, since that happened, I mean, there's not a single thing that I've been, you know, been in trouble about or I've been, you know, involved in. And as far as making them believe that I didn't commit that crime, I believe the 17 years since that happened should reflect and say, yeah, I can believe that this person is true about what he wants to live in. And truthfully doesn't believe that he did commit this crime. And I know I truthfully in my soul believe, and I always will believe I did.
I really appreciate your honesty, sir, and I certainly thank you so very much for being honest and coming before this board. So thank you so very much, and thank you so very much, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, for allowing me to ask the question.
Thank you, sir. Any questions, Mr. Neal? Any questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions from board members? All right, Mr. Rubio, we're coming up toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement before the board makes its decision. So I'd like to just ask you not to repeat things you've already told us, but is there anything else you'd like the board to consider, sir?
Well, my main priority appointing this process is to feeling good about establishing my life that I know I've always had. I don't have any regrets. I don't want to feel sorry about anything either. I am a person who's grown up that has achieved, you know, everything I have here step by step, being humble, and, you know, being a person that, you know, listens, also doesn't want to judge, ain't judgmental either. I am a friendly person. I actually do rides here every day of my day. Right now, since my full-time job, I do it daily. I do it here in Las Vegas where I work, but a number of different amount of people here coming all around the world. So I have a good reference you know, from the rideshare company and, you know, the people I work with, the tourists. I involve myself within the community here, and I believe my choices are, you know, great. I take them step by step, and I am a humble person in every choice I make. So, hopefully you guys take that into account and, you know, give me a chance.
Okay, Mr. Rubio. I don't know if you know, but in Arizona, the board does all of its discussion in public. So we've not discussed your case before now. So what we will ask you to do is just to stay on the phone, just listen to the discussion, just remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a moment. Okay, sir?
Yeah.
Thank you. The board is now in discussion. And Mr. Rubio is an individual who has given us several examples about how he is now making good choices. I mean, he discussed his work, his three years of work history. Sounds like a security job, which is pretty responsible. Is avoiding other criminal activity. We have no evidence of that other than his say-so, but I believe that he's avoiding criminal activity. He would have to be if he's working in security. He, as he mentioned, he pays his bills and, you know, is kind of being a normal person with pets and hobbies. Looking back, and I also wanted to mention that he has two letters of support, which are very nice to have support letters. Looking back to the crime itself, He still denies, he is during this hearing, used the word supposedly committed, and he either has no memory of the crime because he had been drinking, or for whatever reason he doesn't remember committing the crime, but he never appealed that. He never appealed his conviction. He just maintains that he's innocent, and so we have no court action or court activity or discussion about that, anything that would make that official. That troubles me a little bit, and also troubles me a little bit that he had a probation, and instead of addressing that, and I believe he kind of alluded to this as well in his narrative, his discussion today, instead of addressing that in the way he should have, he just left the state. So essentially absconded and was brought back, and his probation was revoked, and that resulted in his prison term. Just given all of these things, the good aspect, which are the good things he's doing now, and the other things that I just mentioned, I'm not feeling that he's somebody that I personally would be willing to stand up and say to Governor Ducey, this man should be pardoned. But I would listen to any input from fellow board members. Okay. All right, I'm going to make a motion then, and my motion would be that for the application of Mr. Jesus Rubio, that we not recommend this to the governor at this time. And that's my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Seconded, Mr. Johnson. Agreed, Dr. White, Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Rubio, the board has voted unanimously not to pass your application on to the governor, sir. The pardon is a very, very high standard, sir. And so there seems like there's a lot of information lacking. We just threw some gaps. There are some holes in the information. So, sir,
I'm just making my small comment of it. You know, it's a time where, you know, I was young still, and
understood.
These choices, I believe, whatever choices were made weren't. I mean, I didn't have control of. And today, how I feel, where I feel greater about the choices that I know I'm making step by step.
Well, and it does sound like you've turned your life around, sir, and we're grateful for that, and we certainly wish you the best. And you can, I believe you can come back, and at some point in the future, you could apply again if you wanted to do that. There's probably a time limit. You can research that online and determine how there's a certain period that will have to go by before you can apply again, sir. But we certainly wish you the best. And thank you for appearing today. We appreciate your patience. And your hearing's concluded, sir. So we'll be disconnecting. Thank you very much.
Thank you.